My name is Mary Elizabeth Hogan Wallace. I am 54 years old. My Crow Indian name is Ekelechbachida, given to me by my aunt. Mary takes the gun, and my dad interprets that as looks for the morning star. I will begin by telling you that my lifelong dream, ever since I was about 5 years old and my mother bought me a little nursing bag, and it had candy for pills and a place stethoscope and a thermometer and a little hat, and I put that on. I visited all the family members, taking their temperatures, listening to their heart, taking their pulse, giving them shots. And that was the start of it all when I got that nursing bag. After that, my dream was to become a nurse. And every chance I got at playing, I would a nurse, and there was a time when we did some really dangerous things too. We lived by the dump over here, where people would just throw their dump away, and then the BIA would come pick it up. And I remember my cousin and I once went to the dump to get things to play with, and my cousin got a bottle of liniment that was full, and we started rubbing each other. She said, "I'll be the doctor this time," and she was putting that liniment on my tummy, and then she put some on my face, and it got in my eyes, and I started screaming, and she threw the bottle one way and took off the other way, and my mother ran outside, and luckily she knew what to do. She washed my eyes out with lots of water and then rushed me to the doctor. And he told her she did the right thing, because I was okay. And they gave a strong reprimand never to get things from that pile again. And as far as I remember, I never did. We did some other crazy things as children, but I remember we never went to that pile again. And then it was always in the back of my mind to become a nurse, but I was raised in the Indian village, and I really didn't know how to go about. I didn't know in those days. That's how naive I was. I didn't know how to go about going past high school. I know they bused us to Hardin, so starting my freshman year, I went to Hardin and graduated there in 1960. And there I was on the four-year honor roll, and I never knew that until I saw it in the paper. That was an achievement that I never knew about. And right after high school, I got married. I had two children. Then my marriage didn't work out, so I went back to school. I got a executive secretarial under what they call the BIA training program. I think it was relocation and training. I went to Butte, Montana, and finished an 18-month secretarial course, and from there I relocated to San Francisco, and the BIA assisted me with my mileage while I was at the business college. My sister Nellie lived with me and took care of my two children, made it possible for me to finish, and I from there we moved to San Francisco. And you have to be young, single, and aggressive to live in a city, and I was such a timid person that the big city life scared me half to death, and my children were not happy there. Well, we ended up coming back, and for a while I worked in Billings at the Bureau of Indian Affairs. Then I went to, wanted to go back into school, I told Mr. Bieber, who was the relocation officer at the time, that I wanted to be a nurse. And he said, well, the closest I can get you is a dental assistant. And he said, you'd have to go to Alaska for that. And I did not want to go to Alaska or leave my children. So the next best thing, he said, is a medical secretary. So that was the course I signed up for and got sent to Butte. I wanted to go to a big city at the time because I had never been to a city, and I applied to Cleveland, Ohio, a business college there, and they said that my grades were good, and I was the type of person they would like to see come to their school, but they said unmarried women with children always dropped out or would never complete their training because of babysitting problems. And I tried to tell him that I would be taking my sister, who would be babysitting for me, and that I wanted training, that I was not the drinking, messing around type of woman, that I would finish my schooling. But I guess they must have had too many bad experiences with single mothers. They refused to take me, and Missoula, Montana would take me, but it wouldn't be till a year later, and the business college in Butte was willing to take me in October or in the fall. So that's how I ended up going to Butte. And I did not want to go to Butte, but I ended up liking the city mainly because of its cold water. I really liked the cold water. We lived in the newer part of Butte, which was called the Flats, and we just stayed to ourselves. I went to school, my younger sister Martell went to school, and we'd go every day together, and my sister Nellie would watch my two little children, and that went on for about a year and a half, and I got through the course. I dropped out of the medical part of it and took up executive because the medical terminology was so very hard, and I wasn't that adept at shorthand, so I changed courses, and then we moved to San Francisco, and I worked at the Bank of America on 1 South Van Ness, and my children were so unhappy there that I was there for just a month and a half. We didn't know anybody. I know Victoria and Sydney Fitzpatrick were, we knew them. They were living in Berkeley. at the time he was taking some kind of, he was under the relocation program, excuse me, and we would visit with them every weekend, and they were our only friends. There was no social life for us whatsoever there. We were just so timid and afraid that we just never made any friends, never went out, never did anything. We'd just go visit Vicky and her children, and we'd picnic together, and the children would play together, and it was really lonely time. And since the children were so unhappy, I told my mother about it one day when I called her, and she said, "I'll come after you right now." And I told her, "Well, give it a while, maybe they'll get used to it." The following Monday, she was there with a trailer, and so we ended up coming home and left Nellie there because she was taking a course with a sewing. She was going in for sewing. So we left her there and came home. And for a while I worked at the Billings area office. And there I had a lot of babysitting problems. And my mother would come and take Meredith, my daughter, and that would leave me and Barry there alone. And we stayed home, and I'd have a babysitter come live with me, and they wouldn't stay very long. So I had a lot of multiple problems. And so I came back home to the reservation and lived with my mother, and she cared for my children. I worked for the Bureau of Indian Affairs for a while, for the tribe for a while, then back to the Bureau of Indian Affairs, and then I transferred to the public health hospital. I thought if I can't be a nurse, I can at least work there as a secretary. And I worked for the mental health and social services there for about 3 years. And the public health nurse and my boss, the psychiatric nurse, were friends, and they'd have coffee breaks, and I'd have coffee with them. And I'd ask Mrs. Les about her nursing career, and she said, "You've always wanted to be a nurse, haven't you?" And I said, "Yes, that's been my dream." And she said, "Well, why don't you go back?" And I said, "Well, maybe I'm too old." And she laughed and she said, "You're never too old. You should see some of the people that go back to college." And that's when I first realized that you can go for it any time, at any age. There was an 80-year-old woman that I went to school with, and she was just there because she wanted to take some college courses to fill in her time, and just for something to do. And education you can get at any age, anywhere, anytime, as long as you want to, and there's always financial aid available. I had a tough time. I'm not saying it was easy. There were times when I would sit down and just plain old cry because I didn't know where my next meal would be coming from, and my children were teenagers and wanting to experiment and drinking and stuff, and I was hurting really bad. But when I quit my job to go for my nursing, I swore that no matter what, I would get that degree and I would be an RN, the dream that I had always wanted and never thought I'd realize. Like I said, I was a big Indian. I didn't realize how, I didn't even know how you got to go to college. So you can always get married, you can always have children. I would say as soon as you finish high school that you should follow your dream, make your goal a reality, set goals for yourself and then meet them. And there is nothing like the satisfaction my dad always put in my brain, that what Pliny Coo said about education. He would repeat that to me. And he said, our chief was very wise. He said this and this, and you can go in a home and they can take your food away from you, not feed you, take the clothes off your back, and then he'd point at his brain and he'd say, but what you put in here, they can never, ever take that away from you. And I've lived by that, my dad's policy there, that to educate yourself. So at least I had a high school education before I got married. And I was so sick and tired of school then that I didn't want to go. And now I realize that I probably could have gotten more out of it. Boy, I had to work for my C's this time. I went through high school not even really caring, and I got good grades. But this time I would sit down and I would cry, because there was a 20-year span between when I graduated from high school and the time that I went to college. And without Mrs. Letts' encouragement and telling me who to contact, I would never have known what to do. Like I said, I didn't know how to go to college. And I was getting a little more experience when I got into my job at mental health, so that maybe eventually I would have on my own gone, because I was frustrated. As a secretary, I had to do all the boss's work. He'd say, answer this letter. I'd have to do it. I had to memorize all of phone numbers, be alert ever to get their letters and stuff in time. And I really never got any credit or the pay. Seemed like I was the bumpkin at the bottom of the pole, and I did all the work and they got all the pay and the credit. And I thought, someday I'm going to turn this around. I am going to be the one that dictates and gets all the money. And today I've realized that dream only because I was willing to take the first step. I was scared. I was really scared. I hadn't never lived alone without my mother. And I was used to having her around. And she would come and stay with me a while in Miles City, but then I never had time for her. I was too busy studying. There was so much to read and so much to do reports. And like I said, there were days that I would just sit down and plain old cry. And because I had sworn that I would get this degree at any price, it seemed to me like the price got higher every month. And there were days when I would think, what am I doing here? I want to go home. I just want to sleep. I just want to do what other people do. Why am I pushing myself so hard? But yet once I had a taste of nursing, I knew that that was what I wanted, and I wouldn't let go. And during a spring break once, I fell and cut my knee so bad that I had to end up in the hospital. Oh, luckily this happened on a Thursday, just before spring break, and I had surgery on my knee, and my leg was in a cast, and I, the next morning I told my son, bring my books, I'm going to study, I'm going to take my test Monday. And he brought all my books, the ones I told him, and my notes. And all weekend long I'm in the hospital, in between being doped up, I studied. And that Monday, the doctor came to see me Sunday, and I said, I have to be out of here by before 9 o'clock because I have a test scheduled for 10 o'clock. And he said, lady, you must be crazy. You've got a bad injury here. And I said, no, I'm not. I am taking my test. And he just looked at me, but by 9 o'clock I was out of the hospital, and my son drove me over to the college. I doped myself up, and my instructor took one look at me, and he said, where are you going to sit? And because I had a cast clear up to my mid-thigh, and he felt so sorry for me, he put me in a room with a bar stool, and he would come check on me every once in a while, and that was where I took my tests, and I completed my tests, and I went home and stayed with my sister for a week, and she took me back home, and for 6 weeks I went to school with that cast, and I would come home and my feet would be so swollen, and I'd cry, and I'd take my pain pills, and my mother and my son would tell me to rest, they'd cook and they'd wash the dishes, and I'd study, and that was about all I did for 6 weeks, and I was in a lot of pain, and it was very, very hard for me, but I, like I said, I wanted that pin, that nursing pin, and I wouldn't give up. Then I remember one time we had to be videoized. They were going to tape a session that we were supposed to role play. And they gave me, we were supposed to have role played something about a surgery that we were supposed to have had. And this was all role play. We had to do research on the type of surgery that we were given, what was done, and the medications given, and the recuperation time, just the whole detail on it, and then we had to play a part. And I did my report, but as for role playing, that was where it was really hard for me because I was so very bashful, and I had to do this in front of the whole class and be taped. And I thought, oh dear God, help me. And I sat down in front of the TV, tried to write down what I was going to say, and I just ended up crying. I didn't know what I was going to say that would come across to them. And then I had decided that I wasn't going to go to church anymore. I really didn't think I needed church, but I had always been raised in the church, so I was doodling on a piece of paper and crying, and I looked down and I had written a Bible verse that I had learned long ago. It's in Philippians, and it said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And then I broke down then, and I knelt down and I prayed, Lord, help me. I really don't know what I'm going to say. So that noon, I ate my lunch. I took a shower, ate my lunch, and thought, well, I'll just go with this Bible verse written on this piece of paper and see how I come out. Well, the whole class was there, and while one would get up and do their role playing, they never paid any attention to them. They'd just be busy whispering to each other or exchanging things that they still had to do to get their report completed. And so I thought, well, good. They're not going to pay any attention to me either. I'll just get up there and fake it and sit back down. And I got up there and I started talking, and I couldn't stop. My role was so good that the kids stopped talking and they listened, and the whole room was quiet. And that was my first experience on turning to God. And since then, I have been a believer in putting things in His hands and not worrying about it. And I went through school like that, but I worried about my daughter who lived down here in Crow Agency with her cousins, and my son would stay with me, but then he joined the army, and then there was just me and my mother, and sometimes she'd want to come home when I had a lot of studies to do, and I'd have to take time to bring her home for the weekend. And it went on like that until I never thought I'd make it with all my worrying about my children, my mother, and not having much money. There was always financial worries. I remember Barry said, Mom, let's just eat twice a day. We don't need to eat three meals a day. So we'd cut down and we ate breakfast and we ate supper, and that was how we stretched our meal, our food, until the next time we got money. And I lived on a Pell Grant, and sometimes I'd apply for some money from the Tribal Education Program, and luckily there wasn't a lot from the Black Lodge District, so Jeanette Adams was the member at the time, and she was always good about giving me financial aid when I'd write and ask for it. But I tried not to abuse that. I thought, well, I have to learn to make it on my own sometime. So I, and it was really a lot of some fun times and some really scary times in learning. They taught us, and it was really intense. There was always a lot of work and a lot of reading. I thought, how am I ever going to read this and get my work completed? But I always managed. I didn't get much sleep. I But I always managed. And as I said, I had some really rough times and some really fun times. Like, I think the funny thing is that I, when I first started, I thought if I saw someone bleeding heavily, I'd be scared and I'd faint. But watching my first baby delivery, it just scared me. The baby came out blue. I didn't know they came out blue. I thought they came out pink, and that scared me, but I got through that okay. But I think where I almost fainted was when I watched a simple circumcision. I just about fainted in there. And we got to watch some surgical procedures and got to take care of the patients afterwards. And then in 1980, I got my nursing pin. I think that was the happiest day of my life. My family came to, and then we had a picnic afterwards, and I started my nursing career. My first job was at the Deaconess Hospital in Billings, and they had promised me that I would have a preceptor, and I didn't, and I got scared out, and I quit there. Then I worked for the post office for a while. Then I got back into nursing. I worked at the Crow PHS Hospital, and then I worked in Galen, the Montana State Hospital. That was a fun time. It was a scary time, but I enjoyed the experience working with the people at Warm Springs. And you really learn to get attached to some of them. They are always in so much need of affection, it seems. The little old ladies that I took care of, there was one especially that I learned to like. Her name was Maggie. And it seems like you, there's always, I love to give shots. That's what I really enjoy, is giving shots and starting IVs. But I've enjoyed my job that I've had, and today I'm a director of the Alzheimer's Demonstration Project for the tribe, and I make home visits to the elders and make assessments and assign my girls, the providers, to take care of the elders, and they are really a bunch of dear people too. And I've really enjoyed, and I'm not sorry that I went back. And like I said, you're never too old to go back to school. It can, you'll never be sorry if you do. So that would be my closing statement to you, would be to always have a dream and to follow it and make it become a reality.